Congratulations.
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
Well, Maysoon, we want to say a strong thank you to our sustaining donors, Jim Prosser and Anonymous. If you want to donate to the show, go to congratulationspinetree.com. You can tweet us if you want to talk to us at Pine Tree Podcast. You can email us congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. Or you can give us a call, 419-351-6606.
Give us a call. Sorry, I like that one. It was very like NPR sounding to me. Give it like trying to be peppy, you know?
Uh-huh. Maysoon, we got an email this week. But last week I explained how I have been haunted by a terrible poltergeist in the night.
It's so fascinating to me. I can't wait to talk all about it on every episode.
And so we got some correspondence from our resident psychic,
yay,
Sarah Tebow.
Oh, perfect. Sarah,
or
I'm
medium,
so glad.
Medium.
Medium, yeah, she's
and
a medium.
And Sarah said, there's nothing to be scared of. It seems like there is a friendly spirit around you, maybe your grandmother on your dad's side.
Oh, why is so specific? Oh.
My grandma, that's my grandma Ruth.
And were they the ones down in San Jose?
No, okay. My grandma Ruth lived in Southern California.
Okay. Oh, but still California, so it's possible she kind of flew up to visit
you. She was born in Santa Monica.
She flew up to visit
you. Sarah says, my grandma Ruth is trying to be helpful and wants me to feel taken care of. And Sarah thinks that they're doing these small things, so I feel like I'm not on my own. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Aww.
Okay, another thing that
I mean,
came
I feel like the keys being returned to you is definitely like a friendly gesture, even though it was a little bit creepy also. But it was very clearly a friendly gesture. It's not like, you know, your stove turned on and burned down the house kind of a gesture, right?
I mean, are ghosts kind of confused? Like, if a person did that, I would feel threatened. But maybe ghosts don't know all the etiquette of the living world anymore.
They forgot. What?
Right.
So maybe, but also maybe it's a playful ghost who's like ultimately good natured, but like also thinks it's funny to kind of freaking scare you a little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe it's an immature ghost. Sorry. Go ahead. Oh my God. I feel like we can really like, let's nail down this ghost personality and like give it a name maybe. Okay. Go ahead. Next. What were you saying? You were just saying something. I interrupted you like 13 times. So sorry about that.
Another thing that came up this week was,
are we done with the ghost?
Oh, yeah. Did you want to say
okay,
more?
Okay, fine. We can talk about it more next
you
week.
You want to really personify the ghost?
I guess we don't have
to. I haven't had any more supernatural
things.
Well,
when are you going to have another one?
I'll find. I don't know. You got any ghosts at your house?
Can you dream about it? No, I don't think so.
I'll try to dream about it.
I can't have ghosts in my house. I'll be a fucking wreck. I would be just horrified.
Okay, good. Hopefully they know that.
I think I had one ghost experience when I was a kid in Chicago. And I don't, not ghosts, but like, I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like you hear noises, but you don't. But is it really just your like 14-year-old, 15-year-old brain like making noises to freak you out by mistake, you know?
Your brain was making noises?
Well, no. I thought I heard, I think we were in our old apartment in Chicago. And I thought I heard noises coming from downstairs, like the basement area, which is always like bad news in most movies. Don't ever go downstairs to check out what the fucking noise is. I didn't go downstairs.
I would
slam the door. I was like, fuck you, noise.
Fuck you, noises. Exactly.
Anyhow, I never heard it again. And so I was just sort of like, was I just making that up? Because I was like no one was home and I was free, like a little bit scared as a little kid, you know?
Oh, yeah, I'm right there with you.
But that was my only ghost experience. But I think I'm also, like, really closed off to the opportunities. I've, like, shut it down, basically.
Yeah.
And no ghosts have been strong enough to get through my ghost wall, my anti-ghost wall, so far. Knock on wood.
Knock on wood.
I just don't know if I could handle it. I think I would be really freaked out. I don't know what I would do. I feel like you're more equipped to handle an interaction like that for some reason.
Why is that?
I don't know. I just feel like you're more open to it. Plus, you've got Katie, who like, I feel like what? Is really open to it.
I don't know. I think we would be terrified. I'm terrified now just thinking about
You're terrified now just having a conversation about it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. well, you know, dear ghosts, I don't hate you, but I'm not ready for you to come out to me yet. I just don't know if I can handle it, if you're listening. Can I say it? Just say that? Okay, we can move on now.
Good. Speaking of human and ghost connections, there's a new show coming up at Bass and Reiner.
Oh.
They're presenting Pyramid Scheme. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm listening.
It's a simple and obvious concept, one that doesn't take much intellect to come up with, execute, explain, or understand.
Weird.
It perpetuates without further piloting after its initiation, like a dumb bomb as opposed to a smart bomb, a sort of wind-up zombie controlled by the thoughtless Ouija of the mob. It lacks thought and hinders the foresight of the proprietor by preventing planning around, well, anything at all, really. I wouldn't call it a bad idea, though. As much as people hate Ponzi schemes and chain letters, they do work. I don't know that about chain letters. Okay.
What do you mean they do work?
Okay, so.
They don't fucking work.
Yeah, chain letters don't work. What are you talking about? So basically, what the show is. Ponzi schemes also don't
work. They just fucking privilege the top dude and fuck everyone else. Come on.
Well, yeah, if you don't get caught, that can work. So basically what's going to happen is three artists are going to install their works in the gallery and at some point during the day. Okay. And I believe this starts on the 25th.
Hmm.
Okay. And one of those three artists is Sarah Hotchkiss.
Nice.
And,
wait, I don't see where did they list the names?
I don't think they did.
Oh, you just have like the inside scoop?
I have an inside scoop on this one.
Ooh, nice one. Okay, go ahead.
And then...
each week they'll pick three more artists. Then right? Those artists each will pick artist three artists.
Each artist picks another artist. Mm-hmm. Each artist invites another artist to install work in the show until there's no room to put more work.
Each artist will pick three artists.
Oh my God, well that's not going to take many iterations.
And then they do it again. And then... It'll go on like this until the space collapses. Well, that's under the weight of
that's
art.
That's exponential growth.
Or I leave for that's vacation, whichever comes first. Oh, I love it. It's an exercise in community and also a test of it. Who will be the first asshole to bring in something huge? Will anyone collectivize? Will anything get covered up, moved, or ruined? It sounds really fun.
Yowza.
Praise Jesus for this gallery... fun experimental exhibition. I'm into it.
Yeah, I love it.
I give it a 10, and I don't score anything.
Wow, 10 from Maysoon is unheard of.
I'm going to go every week.
The gallery will be open 11 to 5 Tuesday through Saturday.
All right,
but they can't make promises what you'll find. And, of course, Bass and Reiner is at 1275 Minnesota Street, Suite 207.
Ooh, I can't wait.
Now, Maysoon.
Do you know who the other two starting artists are? I know you knew Sarah Hotchkiss was the first. Okay. I feel like choosing your starting artist is very important in projects like this.
Yes.
Choosing your artist in general.
Well, they have to be somebody who will then continue the strong foundation, right, of people who will do it.
Yeah, or people who believe in this kind of like idea, this exhibition idea, the people who are excited about it, who want to see what can happen, you know, who are like into the possibilities of it and might help influence some weird cool thing that goes on.
Now, Maysoon, we were at an event in the past week, and we were chit-chatting. We were losing our minds.
Where the hell were we? I don't even remember anymore.
At the library.
Oh, God, yeah, that's right. Oh, my Lord. Oh, we had so much fun.
And I was like, Maysoon, what could I ever do that would make you stop talking to me forever?
Oh, no, this is one of the things I was supposed to write down and talk about.
Uh-huh. And
what did I say?
You said kill someone you love.
It's true, though. It has to be pretty extreme.
I was like, why would I ever do that?
Well, you asked a hypothetical question and I gave you a hypothetical answer. What else do you want from me?
And I said that if you killed someone I loved, I would still talk to you.
And I was like, no, you wouldn't. And then you were like, yes, I would.
I would want to know why. I would want to know what happened.
You would want to talk to me right away? No, you'd need a break.
Yeah, I'd be like, what's going on, dude? Why'd you do that?
I don't know if it would be that easy. I mean, not that easy. I don't know.
I think I would.
Okay. I mean,
do you want to role play it right now?
And no. And for me, I think I realized, okay, if you killed someone out of like absolute spite and intention, I would probably never want to talk to you again. However, because I think you were a fucking and then
oh my goodness. Wow, I'm bleeping that.
You can bleep that. And then secondly, if you did it by accident, like if you got into a really bad accident that caused someone I love to die, then I would talk to you obviously then, because it would be, it's an accident. You can't, I don't think,
oh,
you can
me
talk
soon.
For an accident.
Can we put a pin in this for just one moment?
Oh, okay, yeah, wow. What
last
the hell?
Week I read an email. Okay. Last yeah. week I read an email from Margaret Timbrell, and I forgot to say that she's who sent in the email. So she's got that show out in Half Moon Bay. Get out there, check that show out. I forgot to say who the freaking email was from. It sounded like I was just talking from my own perspective.
Oh, I see.
Isn't that funny?
That is funny.
Okay, now Mason, go on about how if I accidentally hit your Aunt Martha with a semi-truck, how you would or wouldn't talk to me again.
I just mean like even if you accidentally hit her in like your SUV, your like BMW SUV, because you become like a famous rich artist.
I have a freaking BMW SUV.
And you don't even like, you can barely see other people because you're so famous and no one else is good enough for you. Then I would be like, I could forgive you, but I would still be mad at you because you were such a snoot.
Okay, Maysoon, I have an edit. Okay.
You have to edit everything? Why, I can't say snoot now?
What? No. I was going to say, no, I had a question.
Okay.
Okay, so Maysoon, point is, I would never stop talking to you for any reason, and you would stop talking to me at the drop
I don't
of the
think
hat
that's,
is what we play.
I just don't think that's true. Have you ever stopped talking to someone? In
oh,
your
yeah.
life. Okay, so what Tons. What happened? Can you give me like a couple examples of what happened?
We just had a very fraught relationship.
Like a toxic relationship where you're like, I need this person out of my life. It's ruining me. That kind of thing?
Well, yeah, it was just not, it did, I didn't see a path forward to
oh
fixing
God.
It, you know?
Oh, that's so sad. Let's not ever do that.
Okay, good. Yeah, no, I'm down. We can really process all our feelings forever. I've been doing the Dr. John Gottman regrettable incident repair process when I have issues with my loved ones. I'll just put a link to that.
Can you do that for work?
I really believe
in it. Is
that
something that would work in like your professional career life, do you think? Or is it
I think the only barrier to doing it with somebody is, are they comfortable talking to you about their feelings?
Oh, right. Okay.
So I think in a work setting, it might be difficult just because people don't feel comfortable, maybe.
You know, I mean, it's true. I think you're right. Okay, so this is about talking about feelings. Okay, of course it is, repairing.
Yes, it's a 5-step process. Hmm. Step one is you describe your feelings. And there's like a whole preamble. I'll put the PDF on our website, congratulationspinetree.com.
Okay.
Then step two is each, you know, and you're talking about this when you're calm. Like, you have to get to a point where you can kind of look back on the incident in a calm way, but still be able to talk about your feelings.
I really, really think that's
that
so
you
important.
Felt at the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I love this thing they say in the beginning. First off, the goal is to build understanding. Mm-hmm. You're not trying to change anyone. You are kind of pretending
that's
like
hard.
You're sitting in the balcony of a theater looking down on the stage where the action occurred.
Oh, nice.
This requires calm and emotional distance. Mm-hmm. So then step one is
but
talking
also,
about feelings.
Sorry. It requires mm-hmm. that from both parties, though, too, right? Because I think it would be
oh,
hard
yeah,
to
for
hold
sure.
that place mm-hmm. if one person is getting really, like, intense about it or something or kind of pulling you
if
back
you get
in.
Flooded, if you get flooded, like, so worked up that you can't really... You can't be in a calm space, you know, like your nervous system is all keyed up and you're in like a fight or flight situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then you have to pause.
Yeah.
And you have to say how long you're going to pause. Uh-huh. Like, we're going to take a break for 20 minutes and come back to it.
Wow. Okay, yeah. So you're using this currently in some of your relationships, friendships.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
I really believe in it. Okay, that's a 5-step process. Step one is talking about feelings. And you avoid blame. And then step two is sharing your subjective reality. And then you validate the other person's reality. So, you know, each person each person has their own idea of what happened, you know, their own understanding. And so, like, for instance, I would be like, you know, I came into the room and you were loudly typing. You know,
I've had coworkers like that. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
You know, and instead of me saying, and instead of saying you said, you say I heard you saying. So then I would be like, I heard you saying I'm typing so loud right now. Mm-hmm. And then you would say, I hear that you thought my typing was loud.
Oh, see, the problem with that is that it has the potential just to go on and on and on where you're like, I heard you heard that I heard that I heard you heard. Does that ever happen by mistake?
No, because it's all broken down into this step two is actually broken down into three sub steps. Okay. So you take turns, you describe your perception, and then the other person summarizes and validates what they've heard. And then at the end, you check for understanding. And then if there's something that one partner feels like wasn't fully understood, then you kind of iron that out. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do you ever feel like...
I'm
just saying,
I did this whole process with my mom about something that happened at my cousin's wedding. Or like while we were out for my cousin's wedding. It only took 20 minutes. Okay, then step three is triggers, where you share if there was something that escalated the interaction for you. So, for example, if you were typing really loud, and I was like, I felt really triggered because when I was a kid, you know, my Aunt Martha would type really loud right before she hit me with a frying pan.
Oh, no. I know that's not true, but it's really sad to think of.
Right. And so, you know, if there's something that was really like set off for you that actually is from outside the relationship or the interaction, then you bring that in. Step four then is taking responsibility. I think this is huge. Each person takes responsibility for whatever happened. You know, like what kind of set up the miscommunication or the regrettable incident. Okay. You talk about what you regretted. And then if there's something you want to apologize for, you apologize. And then the other partner can choose to accept the apology or not. And then
if they don't accept the apology, what happens then?
They might share what it is they still need if there's an unmet need.
Okay, or so sometimes then that means people you have just start like, the process over again or?
No, you just kind of hash that out. You don't have to start all over. You just be like, you know, like, okay, say you're apologizing. I don't know why I'm putting it all on you, Mason, but say you're apologizing for typing, for violently typing at me. And then, you know, and maybe you take responsibility and you're like, you know, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry
for the first five words I typed. But not the last 15. And then I'll be like, well, the last 15 were the worst of all. And you might be like, hey, now that I understand, you know, more what affected you, I want to also apologize for the last 15.
The last 15. Okay.
And then I'll be like, okay, I accept your apology.
Okay.
This is a terrible example.
It's pretty good, though. It's nice to be lighthearted about it, about these things when explaining it. Don't you think?
I don't know how helpful it is. If you look at the thing, it has a lot more like, it's like, you know, a lot of explanation about each step. And then for the last step, step five is constructive plans for how things might be handled differently in the future.
Okay. Okay. So like, for example, I could get a quieter keyboard.
Or also, you could just warn me and say, Kate, I'm going to be doing some loud typing right now. I just want you to know that.
Okay.
And it's something I have to do, but I just wanted to let you know ahead of time.
Got it. That's nice. So just like communication, really.
It really is all about communication.
Always about communication.
Why were we talking about this again?
I don't fucking know. I don't know. We really like to get into that. We like to really make it obscure for people.
Well, we were talking about bats and Reiner.
Oh, right. But that had nothing to do with this.
Oh, and it was
because...
the
story was beforehand.
It was because you were going to stop talking to me if I killed your loved one.
Oh, my God. Back to that one. Because you were just then saying we would just go through this process.
Well, if you were open to talk, we could just do the...
Oh my God. We just spent like 40 minutes talking about hypothetical nonsense. It's pretty good. I hope, listeners, that this helps you in multiple ways. One, to think about forgiving your friends. And two, to think about how you could work out some major issues.
Well, but Maysoon, on the whole forgiving thing, I don't think that people have to forgive. I don't want to put the onus on the person who was harmed, you know, to do the repair. Yeah.
Oh, no, no,
okay,
I don't think.
If you don't want to forgive.
Right, okay.
There is something going on.
There's so much going on. It's too much, in fact.
Mercury 20 Gallery has an opening in their back room gallery. No, thank God it's not. But it's going in, I think, in April.
Oh, of course. Got to be Aries.
Mercury 20 Gallery is pleased to present The Natural Order, an Earth Month. Oh, it's Earth Month.
Right. Isn't Earth Day is April 20th? April 27th?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Well, they have a group show that, it starts March 31st, goes all through April, and then closes on May 6th. And it's featuring Salma Arastu, Alicia Escott, Julia Feldman, Linda Gass, and Amy Hibbs. And it's all kinds of nature stuff and earth stuff.
Nature stuff and earth stuff? Kate?
Yeah, it says in big bold letters in Comic Sans, it says nature stuff and earth stuff. And then that's going to be open on Fridays and Saturdays from 12 to 5 and by appointment. And they are going to be open for Art Murmur on April 7th and May 5th from 5 to 9.
Cool. I haven't been there in really like a very long time, so that's good. I should go to that opening.
We got to go to everything. I swear to God, I'm getting any day now. Katie, research assistant Katie Kondo, and I are getting a fucking car.
Have you guys been researching it?
Yeah, Katie's got several spreadsheets. That's why it's taking so long.
I love Katie. What's Katie's sign again? Does she really? I love
Katie's a Pisces, but I think she's got some earth signs in there.
I love the spreadsheets. Like, Katie's got the spreadsheets. She's going for it. Wow.
Now, Maysoon, we got a listener email in this week.
Ooh, I love those. Thanks, listener.
This one is from Jill.
Okay.
Okay, Jill wrote in. I never read the stuff they say where they're thanking us for the show because it feels too self-congratulatory, even though that's probably appropriate for congratulations, Pine Tree. But Jill wants to know, when you are at an art event and you notice that your friend has been cornered by somebody that it seems like they're a little uncomfortable talking to.
Haven't we talked about this before?
What do you mean?
I feel like we've talked about this exact thing
I think
before.
We've talked about everything that can be talked about. It's been fucking 300 episodes.
Okay, go ahead.
How do you know when to swoop in? And then if you are going to swoop in, how do you handle that situation? What do you say and do?
Okay, first of all, if you're with someone who is prone to get cornered at openings and
I feel
situations
like the main person that usually gets cornered is somebody like an artist or a curator or somebody who has something to do with the show.
I think you can tell when people are getting cornered because they start fidgeting and moving around and they can tell that they're slowly trying to like move away from the person.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But maybe it's a good idea to have like some kind of like keyword with any friend and you could just make it up on the
set up
when you're first setting
up nonverbal signals.
I think so. That could be a one way to be like, hey, I really need you to get me out of here.
Yeah. You have to be hyper vigilant.
Yeah.
You have to have a constant eye on the person who you may need to rescue.
Well, I don't know about that. That's a little extreme.
Well, you do, because how are you going to be able to see their signal, especially if it's a subtle signal?
Well, you can't just be there. You're not there just to have a constant eye on them. Supposedly, they can manage themselves to some degree.
Well, this is your dear friend.
I know, but like you're there together. You're also there saying hi to people and visiting, looking at the artwork. So... I mean, you can have an, I don't think a constant
Are
eye,
you saying
could,
that I shouldn't be having codependent enmeshment with my friend who's getting cornered?
Yeah, I think you should. I think it's okay to have like a, oh, they're over there. They're talking to that person. Oh, I know that person.
Okay.
I don't know that person.
Okay, so
like,
you're passing
like a quick
by.
Like,
okay,
you know, you
so
have a
healthy
sense of what's going
boundaries.
On. Have healthy boundaries. Number
okay,
one. Yes.
Step one, okay. Healthy boundaries.
Number two,
one, you're going to want to have, before you get to the show, you're going to want to have like 5 to 10 years of very intense therapy.
And you're really going to want to have the, what's the technique we were just talking about?
the Gottman process.
You're really going to have the Gottman project, Gottman process technique under your belt. So you
the
can
Gottman
that
project
out
is
to.
My new independent art space.
Gottman Roads project. Okay, what are we talking about now? All right. So I think, you know, I think it in any situation, if
we're on step two, where this is a step by step. Okay, so step one, healthy boundaries. Know that even if you don't help your friend, it's going to be okay.
Right.
Even if you fail.
Okay. Well, you can't fail helping your friend.
Okay. Well, if you can't get them out of the conversation, it's going
to
be
okay. if you really need to get them out of the conversation, you just go up and say, hey, I have to go. Are you ready?
Okay, wait. Step two, you have to notice that they're struggling.
Yeah. So you can look for signs of
beforehand,
discomfort.
Set up some hand signals if you can. But if you didn't think ahead of time to set up any kind of nonverbal signal to let you know that they're in a bad situation, then maybe you can check body language, verbal cues.
Yeah, I would say like crossed arms can be something.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Closed. That's
sort of
a
like
closed posture.
Yeah, or
if
maybe
you hear the person they're talking to start to talk about, like, you know, listening to the Joe Rogan podcast.
Also, if they start to, like, if your friend starts to inch away, but the person keeps inching towards them, that's, like, a clear sign of, like, nope, gotta go. That person's trying to get out of the situation, I think.
But I feel like that'll happen to me sometimes, and it's just because I'm weird.
It's just because you're, like, antsy and jittery and stuff? You're just, like, moving around
yes,
and you can't help
it? I'm in constant motion.
Yeah. I really think the key, because you also don't want to, like, what if someone's having a good conversation, but you can't, I can't tell?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I
that's
guess, like,
what I'm saying.
Maybe if there's no laughing or, like, friendly kind of exchange that you can see, smile, laughing. If your friend also isn't talking either, like, if the person's just talking at them forever, I feel like that's a good one, too, to look out for.
Oh, my God. Maysoon, I actually
have
the solution.
If your friend isn't actively, like, having a conversation with the other person, then I feel like
I have the solution.
Okay, go for it.
Step three, you have to intervene in such a way that actually leaving the conversation is optional. So you can go to the person, you can say, hey, when you get a chance, can you talk to me about some of these artworks? You know, mm-hmm. or like, hey, when you get a chance, can I talk to you about that thing we were talking about before?
Yeah.
And they can be like, oh, yeah, just a minute, because they want to continue their conversation. They actually weren't in trouble. Or they can be like, oh, yeah, let's do that right now while I still have it fresh in my mind or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's
I think
their
that's a little
choice.
Tricky. Yeah.
And it's their choice to do it.
I think you should say not when you get a chance. I think you should say, do you have a moment?
Okay, yeah. And then they
that's
can
a
be
more
like,
direct,
oh, yeah, just a
that's
bit.
A more direct thing for bit. Them. Because if you say when you have a chance, the other person's going to be thinking, oh, well, they're talking to me right now. They can do it later. But if you say, do you have a moment? It's kind of has a slightly more like urgency where it can happen now. Or if the person wants to leave the conversation and say, oh, yeah, I'll, you know, hey, I have to go, you know, take care of this situation. Nice talking to you. Bye. Or to the other person, they can say, yeah, give me a minute if they're still enjoying their conversation with the other person.
I think we fucking nailed this email.
I think, do you have a moment, is it? Everyone, carry that phrase with you. Do you have a moment?
I think that if Jill doesn't become a sustaining donor after this, I don't know what it takes, because we nailed that email.
How do we get
so
honorary, like, psychology degrees? Can we get, like, an honorary degree from Stanford or something in psychology?
Yeah, I think the only way to get an honorary degree is to become, like, extremely famous.
Oh, what? Really? Okay.
Yeah, because remember Elvis got an honorary degree?
For what?
I think actually Elvis got, like, an honorary black belt.
Wow.
In some martial
art. Cute. I'm into that. I'm okay with that.
I think if you're famous, people just honor you all the time.
Yeah. Okay. So you can't. It's not something you can apply for. Should we send an application to Stanford Psychology Department asking for an honorary degree for all the mental health work we've been doing for our listeners?
Yeah. If anybody, I know there's people from Stanford who listen to the show. If you guys have access to any honorary degrees,
if you can, like, if you do nominations and stuff, we would be open to being nominated for such degree.
For such a degree.
You like that?
I loved it.
That was a fun
okay,
segment.
Maysoon,
thanks,
what
Jill,
else you
for
got?
The write-in.
Jill, you're keeping the show going, to be honest. We should be paying you.
Do you have a Patreon that we can be a sustaining
donor? Yeah, let us
donor?
Know. We can just be like a fucking human centipede of money.
I was going to say, you know, this past week, there was quite a lot of news that came out in the art world or the, our little
local art situation. Oh, yeah. Give us a news update. Actually, let me play a little sound cue. It's Maysoon's news update with news anchor Maysoon Wazwaz.
Hello, everybody. This is Maysoon Wazwaz, your news anchor of the week. This week, we receive news from McAvoy Foundation, or McAvoy Center for the Arts, that they will be closing in mid-year, was it, Kate?
Yeah, Kate, something like
co-host,
that.
Co-host, co-anchor. And that was quite surprising, I thought, to be honest. I don't know. March is the month of many closures, art space closures, which is very surprising. Pier 24 announced that they were going to close their space down on the Embarcadero, which is, you know, it's a photography
I hadn't been there in a long time, so that one's on me.
Well, and not only are they closing their space, they're selling their entire collection. I just don't even understand that. I can't imagine what could happen where someone would close their space and also sell their entire collection. Like, I that's stunning to me.
And liquidating.
I don't even understand. I have no idea how to even like think about that. Like, why would you do that? Because it's like, if these are all like family foundations that are closing, but it's like, okay, fine, close the space. But like, don't you still want your art collection? They had an incredible collection of photography.
Wow.
So
is the economy collapsing?
I mean, who knows with these people? Yeah, maybe
it's like their bank collapse.
I mean, I imagine a lot of people are big investors. First Republic hasn't
and
collapsed.
Credit Suisse.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like First Republic is like getting
rather than like operating with a significantly higher annual budget, we believe that money could be better utilized by local organizations.
Wow.
That's Pier 24.
Uh-huh.
One of the largest venues in the world dedicated to viewing photography. It has a comprehensive collection of more than 5,000 works by 500 photographers, all purchased by the Pollara Foundation. I mean, 5,000 is not, I mean, it's big, but it's not huge. I don't know. Is it huge? Yeah. I have no idea anymore.
That's pretty honestly. Big in my eyes.
Yeah. I mean, to me personally, it's huge. But to an organization like an arts space, an arts foundation, maybe it's not. I don't know. Anyhow, I'm just really surprised by that. If anyone has any news or if anyone from Pier 24 would like to call in and let us know what's going on, I'm so surprised by the sale of all the work.
Give us a call, 419-351-6606.
And then following that announcement, let's see, on like March 7th or March 8th, Ratio 3 announced that they're closing their Mission District Gallery, and it's a permanent closure. So that sounds like they're not planning on opening up a gallery anywhere else. That I feel like I heard that the owner, Chris Perez, may be moving to LA. So who knows if he'll be opening something up there, but Ratio sure 3 enough. Is closed. And that's after 20 years of exhibitions. So it's also sort of surprising. Plus, it's so weird when you feel like places are fairly successful and, you know, the work they're
just
showing.
I'm just playing the song real quick. Okay.
So that was surprising. And then lastly, we just heard about McAvoy. McAvoy Foundation for the Arts is that was announced, let's see, on March 17th that they're closing. And that was also surprising. I don't think they're selling their collection. They have quite a large collection. They've been in their space for six years only, which is pretty short-lived. And I believe they'll be leaving the gallery space in September of this year. So that's all happening very quickly. So get on out there. One last hurrah for McAvoy. Check out their current show. Yeah. Check out their current show called Rituals of Devotion.
You've been an art administrator for what, 20 years now?
For a while.
Yeah. So I want to ask you a quick question as an expert in this.
Okay.
Of all these closures that have been happening and all the stuff with the schools and all the things going on, you know.
Oh, God.
We've had a lot of things leaving and ending and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
How much of it would you say, in your expert opinion, which is hard one, in your many years of dutiful service to the art scene, how many of these closures and things are actually my fault.
All of them.
I knew it.
I mean, you just said you'd never been to Pier 24. That's, see?
No, I've been there.
That's your fault for not ever having been there. I haven't
been in a while.
They didn't know that you cared.
I haven't been in a while. I've been
there. They just didn't know you cared. So, man. And obviously you didn't. That's why they're feel like, there's a big banner on their website. Kate Rhodes hates us.
Yeah, no, there's a big banner that's like, time since Kate last set foot in, and if I don't go, it ends. It's like that, remember in Lost, the guy in the bunker?
No, I don't remember
Duncan
that.
Or whatever. The guy who had the computer and he had to like hit the button or put the code in.
Okay, yeah, that guy, right.
God damn it,
Mason. I remember every single fucking detail of a movie I never saw. Well, is it a movie?
I'm in the hat and I'm not doing a good job keeping these places open.
No, you can't give yourself a hard time. But I do want to know more. I want everyone to tell us like why they're really closing. Like, what's going on? Oh, why would you sell your entire collection? What's wild. I don't understand that.
It's a mystery.
I'm going to find out. I know some folks in the photo world. I'm going to try to do some sleuthing.
Sarah Tebow, get in touch with the ghost of Angela Lansbury to solve this mystery for us.
Oh, Angela Lansbury. Well, okay, so what everyone has to look forward to here in this new Aries season is that it's a fresh start because we're associated with the new beginnings, start of spring in the Northern Hemisphere, and all of its symbolic associations, new flowers, baby birds in love with their mothers. Such a weird one.
Oh, my goodness.
Fresh pea shoots out of a freshly mown grassy landscape, holding a person softly in the warm electrical floral air. Dusted dryer sheets, the possibility of summer somewhere on the horizon, a fresh start. Aries is the chance we have to get it all right again. Isn't that amazing? That's what I represent.
Oh, that's from Astro Poets.
It is totally. I loved it. It was so great. I haven't read the whole thing yet, but I was super into that first paragraph.
I believe this is the actual new year. So if you had some New Year's resolutions that weren't kind of going so good, this is your real chance to
restart. This is your real chance. Okay, so everyone, you know, get your restart going. Get it.
It's time to reset.
Mm-hmm.
And watch out for all the Aries people. They're going to be extra energetic now.
Or extra.
Or just extra. Read all about it.
I need to make a shirt. I need to make so many shirts. It's so annoying.
Well, you can get started on that now that it's the new year. And I'm going to be wearing those shirts from the bridge.
Ooh, to the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been Congratulations, Pine Trees. I don't let the numbers count. We can break the surface. I don't let the numbers count. We can do the searches.